views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spiritual Alignment Radio, vibrational living in a physical world with me, Nova Whiteman. Have you woken up to the truth of who you really are? Aware that you're a vibrational being but having no idea how to translate that into everyday physical life? Are you feeling lost, searching for simple ways to integrate that awareness without getting lost in the land of vague spiritual concept? Spiritual Alignment Radio is your space of comfort and connection, where you'll receive practical guidance and usable inspiration to help you navigate your spiritual path from a place of vibrational, centered alignment, allowing you to actually enjoy being human. Take the struggle and suffering out of your human experience, and let me help you focus and align your energy behind all aspects of your life so that you can begin living with more joy, freedom, ease, and fun. Spiritual Alignment Radio. I'm your host, Nova Whiteman, and I'm just reveling over the fact that we are in the final month of the year. This is my, fifth show, I believe, on this network, and it has been such a wild ride. And I know so many of you are in that sort of natural stage that we're all in at the end of the year, where it's a time of reflection. It's a time of sort of looking back and seeing how far we've come, and then also some little hints and peeks into the future and what lies ahead in the next year. Now, for me personally, there's been a topic that's been sort of floating around in my experience for the past year, probably longer, but in a very big way in the last year. And it kind of has to do with this whole worldwide awakening that we're experiencing. Many of you know, if you've heard me talk before or followed any of my work, that I wrote a book called Awake and Aligned, How to Navigate the Human Experience as a Spiritual Being. And the reason why I wrote that book was, of course, because I had noticed that over the past, especially decade, a lot of individuals have been waking up. Yep. If you're watching via Facebook Live, I've got my special guest, Jody Bach, is showing my book right now. Thanks, Jody. And I'll introduce her in a minute. So everybody, you know, we've been seeing like this big spiritual awakening happening. And for some people, they look at that and they think, you know, something really big and extravagant and maybe perhaps dramatic. But a spiritual awakening to me is just an increase in consciousness and awareness. And it can come about in many different ways. It can be catalyzed through external events in your life. Many times it happens through sort of traumatic or tragic experiences that kind of break you and make you look at things differently. And sometimes it just happens and you don't know where or why or who or what. Sometimes it's just noticing the events of the world and how they are becoming just bigger and harder to deal with and more unsettling. And all of these things, no matter what the catalyst is, it kind of brings about this awakening where we have to reevaluate some things. We have to look at our approach to the world, our approach to our own lives, our approach to relationships, to health, to spirituality, to our beliefs, all of those things. Now, again, this awakening has been happening very much on an individual scale and then also on a worldly scale, as we've seen. But the topic that I really want to talk about today, and I'm super excited to discuss with my special guest, is how not only are individuals awakening and the world at large is awakening, but business and leadership are awakening. There's a whole new path being forged right now by a lot of what a term I like to use, by a lot of conscious leaders, people who have taken the time to really ask themselves some important questions, to look at our current systems of doing business and leading in the workplace, as well as in their home and family systems and other contexts. And they're wanting more from it. They're wanting to infuse more meaning, more purpose, more intention. The goals are no longer just make a lot of money and be really successful. And trust me, I don't see anything wrong with that. I'm a fan of making money and of my definitions of success. But it's expanding. we're starting to move from the me to the we, and I'm seeing it more and more in business, which is why I have invited this very lovely, brilliant woman who's a friend of mine, and I actually just met this year. We just one of those things where we were introduced through a mutual friend of ours, Joey Torkeldsen, and he knew that we would love each other. And instantly we spoke and we did. So my special guest is Jody Bach, and she's here with us today to discuss cultivating conscious business and conscious leadership. Such an exciting topic and means so much to the direction that the world is headed in right now, as well as for your individual experience. If you're an entrepreneur or a business owner, or you just are really, it's important to you to show up in your work very consciously and aligned. Before we dive in, let me give you a little intro to Jody, and I'm going to read it because I don't want to mess up all these wonderful things about you, Jody. So Jody Bach is a native North Dakotan and founder of Bach's Office Transformational Consulting, where since 2005, she has been providing coaching, speaking, facilitation, development, and delivery of customized workshops and seminars in the areas of leadership, communication, and accountability. She holds certifications in life purpose and career coaching, extreme leadership facilitation, life success consulting, psych K facilitation, and accelerated innovation facilitation. Jody is also the regional entrepreneurial partner for the Dakotas region of Master Networks, a membership network of learning-based, service-oriented entrepreneurs and business leaders who meet weekly. So, Jody, I mean, there's more here, you guys. I'm going to give you information on
that. Please stop.
This is great because you are somebody that when I first met you, I knew that you were dialed in. I knew that you were tuned in not only to how you were consciously living your life, but the way that you were interacting with others. Just, you know, you run into a lot of, you network a lot when you're an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this. I'm not a fan of going to networking groups because it reeks of inauthenticity sometimes. But I know that you're a part of some networking groups that don't have that vibe. Mm-hmm. But when I spoke with you the first time, I mean, it was just completely easy, completely authentic. I knew that you were up to some really good things in the world. And in terms of this conscious business topic, I mean, you are. Can you tell our listeners and tell me a little bit about what you're up to right now in that realm?
What I'm up to right now today is probably different than it was like last week, because that's what it means to become conscious. Like, things just pop out of the woodwork when you are looking for them. And so in 2005, when I started my business, I think I had an inkling that I wanted to do something in the realm of conscious leadership, because I named my company Transformational Consulting, even though back then I didn't really know what that meant. Yeah. And I remember naming my company Box Office because my last name is Bach. And so it's B-O-C-K apostrophe S. And when I came up with that name, I thought, oh, now I need to do something with this. I need to actually start a business because I like the name. And then transformational consulting to me seemed like something I wanted to do because I wanted to have people wake up, even though I didn't really have that term yet then. Mm-hmm. But I remember early on, somebody said to me, so tell me about this whole transformational consulting area. And I thought, I don't think there is one. I don't know. I kind of just made it up. So that's been the way I've kind of run my business, I'd say. I just sort of make it up, which sounds really irresponsible when I say it out loud like that. But I think throughout the process of having my business for now, what, 13, almost 14 years, if I hadn't been willing to watch and expand and grow, I don't know if I would have made it, because I probably would have gotten stuck in the fear that being an entrepreneur can give. Yeah. In 2008, you know, when 2008 was tough, I work a lot with manufacturing clients. And in 2008, my biggest client decided not to hire me back because they were cutting back on their training. And wow, that can be really scary when one big client says no for the next year. And so there, you know, there's a lot of tap dancing and thinking on your feet and really seeing what I think people need, which doesn't mean that that's always what they see they need.
Right.
So
yes,
it can be challenging, but then being flexible, I guess, and knowing that there are other paths and avenues to go down, which is why I have, you know, kind of three balls in the air right now, including my networking company. Mm-hmm. So everything overlaps into communication, accountability, and leadership. And that's how I listen, I guess.
Yeah. So I'm curious, this term conscious business, conscious leadership is becoming a term. Like you said a minute ago, there really wasn't an area of expertise around this, but it's starting to emerge more and more. I want to know, what does conscious leadership mean to you?
Well, you know, it's funny. I was just thinking about that earlier today when I was, I'm a wordsmith, so I love definitions. So that's a good question to ask me. But it occurred to me that the term conscious leadership has been in my periphery, those two words together, that actual term, since probably 2006 or seven. So it's not been a new term to me. Like you said, it's starting to become more mainstream. But to me, what can happen when we, as I'll not even say leaders, just people, start recognizing that unless we're willing to see things in a new way or open our eyes to something different or actually live the life of our dreams by waking up, we're going to be destined to be walking dead, to be asleep. So the opposite of waking up is asleep. And the opposite of conscious can be unconscious, which is the same thing. So when we start noticing things that upset or frustrate us in a way that pulls us towards something instead of away from something, that's where I think that process can really begin to be a positive one instead of just a, I'm angry about this, a frustrated one.
Yeah. So
for me, that was the first, I had four bosses in a row that were jerks in my career, right? It was all their fault. They were stupid, blah, 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 whatever my story was around that, until it occurred to me that the only thing they had in common was me. Oh, I don't like that. So waking up isn't always easy, but it beats the alternative, right? Yeah. And when I realize that I'm the common denominator, then I realize that I have everything I need to be exactly what I want to be. And I don't have to wait anymore. And I don't have to ask permission.
Yeah. Oh, I love that description. And, you know, it touches on what we all want, whether it's in business or in our personal lives. And I say that a lot on this show, that we all want to feel good. We all want to enjoy life. We all want to be here now, be present, and access all those things that life has to offer. But the old structures, the old stories that we're coming from, that our culture is coming from, that we've all been taught, really follow these outdated rules, these outdated beliefs and perspectives on how things should look. And they don't include room for that adaptability as we're all growing and shifting and changing. And I'm sure you've heard the term, or the phrase rather, you know, the only constant in life is change. Things are always going to change. We always have to adapt. So it's really kind of asinine that our systems don't allow for that.
Yet if we can look at everything as we start to wake up and as we start to become more conscious and our awareness expands, we can start to see things less from a place of judgment and more from a place of just noticing. Yeah. And so business and religion and government, it had a job to do at a time when we were less conscious, maybe, right? So there were things that needed to happen, rules that needed to be in place, because we were kind of in a place of chaos and darkness. If you look back on history during the Great Depression, I mean, even before that. So there were things that were needed at the time.
Yeah.
It's just that some of our consciousness is expanding before our systems are expanding. And I think that's where we find ourselves in that place of discomfort. And in some cases, it can be perceived as a terror barrier. Oh my gosh, now what? And many people would choose to go back into perceived comfort and safety rather than do the work to break through. But the only way you're going to have a breakthrough is to have something to break through. Right? So that's where people, I think, sometimes go, ooh, it's too hard. I'm just going to go back into my, they wouldn't say this, but victim mentality, which is poor me, the world's out to get me.
Yes, very good point. And that kind of brings me to my own definition of conscious business and conscious leadership. I think that you're absolutely right that the way things were served us to a certain point until they didn't anymore. And there's obviously there, that has been in the mix for a while now. And you know, when I look at my own business and running my spiritual coaching business from a more conscious, aligned place, it all boils down to one simple thing for me, is that if I am taking the time and doing what I need to do to evaluate every choice, every action I take, every partnership I engage in, every client I accept from a place of alignment, from that sort of higher access point that I talk about a lot, then I can trust in those decisions and I can trust in the unknowns that unfold next. Because I think a lot of times, and this happens a lot in business, is that we really want that predictability that's just not there. Like you said a moment ago, your client could just decide they don't have enough money in the budget for you, and then you have to do some kind of tap dancing there. So there's a lot of those unexpecteds, and yet the approach, it can be really simplified, energetically speaking, because that's what we do on the show. We like to break things down and look at it from a vibrational standpoint. When you're running a business and you're making those choices from a place of fear, of doubt, of lack, of worry, of hurt, of what's going on at home, or the guy that just cut you off in traffic that you didn't stop, you know, to take time to manage those thoughts and emotions around. And then you dive into some of these very vital decisions in business, it's not going to pan out the way that you want it to, because you're from a very limited perspective, a very limited access point. So when I think of, I call it vibrational business. I like conscious business, conscious leadership, but I like to look at it from terms of vibration. When you take the time to line up your energy first in life and at work, and then look at the task at hand or the decision to be made, or then go into that meeting with potential partners, you're going to see a completely different experience unfold. And the things that might not be predictable or that are unknown, that just kind of fall into the loop, you're also better equipped to manage them, to roll with it and continue making those aligned decisions.
It's so, what you're saying is exactly spot on true. Yet it takes an element of faith for those who are undoing, right? So if people are undoing junk that they've had in the past, ways of doing business, especially businesses that maybe are generational, that are family businesses, we've just done it this way. This is the way it's always been done. There's a lot to undo. And since we know, I hate this term, but people choose the devil they know, right? And they'll choose what they know, even though it doesn't work, because they haven't yet built their faith muscles. And so there comes an element of, I know what she's saying. It would be a lot easier, but it can't be, because it's work, and work cannot be easy. That's not the way we've been trained. Right. It has to be hard, and we have to be feel tired when we go home. Okay. And all I would say is, how is that working? And that, even that question implies that we have a goal, or that we know what we want instead. And I think when people, if we get off the treadmill long enough to ask ourselves, what do I really want here? That then can realign us so much more easily than to just get back on the treadmill the next day. Remember that? Maybe you don't, because you're younger than I am, Nova, but there used to be a commercial, Dunkin' Donuts commercial back in the day, where this little round man would put on his donut hat and it would say, time to make the donuts. And every day we'd get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and make the donuts. And I always use that term. Remember that commercial, everybody? Because it's not like that anymore. It doesn't have to be like that. We might still be making donuts, but we're making donuts with a whole different mindset, with a whole different outlook. We're doing it because people love our donuts, and because we're creating an opportunity for people to share in the beauty that donuts are. And I say this all as someone who's been doing keto for 4 months, 5 months, and I haven't had a donut for 5 months, and I love them. But it's just so interesting, because it's the same stuff you're doing, but if you do it in a different being space, it makes all the difference in the world.
It absolutely does. So I'm curious, where do you start? Like, where do you consult when when you're consulting somebody? Where do you start if they're in that place?
So I hate that it is this way, but right now the conversation has to be around pain points. What's not working? Or what do you envision? Or why did you call me? Or why are we even having this conversation? Let's just talk about that. And I'm learning not to use the word why, which is weird to me, because I always used to believe it was finding your why. But the question, the word why, triggers a point in your brain that doesn't have language. So when people are asked the question, why is this happening? Or why do you think this is important? They go, I don't know. It just is. Because why triggers feeling, not logic. So I have to ask questions, and this is new to me. Like, what do you think it is about the way your employees are feeling that's causing this? So I ask the why questions using what and how language, which is still new to me. But so I just ask a bunch of questions. So if you had no restrictions, what then would it look like here? Or what would you be doing? Would it be about, you know, just different questions? And I need to tell you that this book that has spurred this all for me, which is Becoming a Conscious Leader, has a list of questions in the back of it. Ooh. So there is such a great resource right here to use for me and for you as coaches and consultants to dig in. I'm telling you, it's called Becoming a Conscious Leader, How to Lead Successfully in a World That's Waking Up. And I started this book last January, and I just got done about 2 weeks ago because I wrote two notebooks full of notes. And it's lucky for me that I read it on a Kindle because I didn't realize it's that thick. It's so big. No wonder it was taking me a long time.
And who wrote that, Jody?
Her name is Gina Hayden.
Okay.
And Gina lives in the UK, and she was born in South Africa. So this book interviews a lot of people and gives a lot of resources, including, like I said, some big questions.
Yeah.
Self-mastery. You know, if we could ask each other, what is your definition of success? How will we know that together we are succeeding as an organization if we don't have the same definition of success?
Right.
And so it's almost forming a conscious alliance with whoever my potential clients are to find out what would be a win for you? What would be a loss for you? Because if we don't know together how we're going to measure the results in this touchy, feely, squishy, weird area of leadership and consciousness, how will we ever know if we're making progress?
Yes. Yes. And I love that. The questions part is so powerful because I think a lot of businesses and entrepreneurs who are still operating from those old systems and stories, they might be asking questions, but they're asking, for lack of a better way of saying it, the wrong ones. They're asking the questions that are very limited and focused on a micro view, the problem or task at hand, versus the bigger questions that open you up to seeing the possibilities, to seeing what's important to you. And from a vibrational perspective, when you're asking the wrong questions, the ones that drop you, it literally drops you. It drops your vibration. Mm-hmm. It gets the stress hormones are released in the brain, and all of a sudden you're less resourceful, less capable. Mm-hmm. But if you're asking those big questions, like some of the ones that you just listed there, that really do connect people to their why or their vision, what happens? You get expanded. You open up. The happy hormones flood your brain and you're more resourceful.
And the not danger, but the uncertainty of that for people who have been conditioned in the other way of leading would be, oh my gosh, what if they say something I don't know how to answer? What if I ask a question and they say something and I have no idea what to do with that? Mm-hmm. So fear takes over again and then limits us to asking questions maybe we already know the answers to.
Yeah.
And then where are we getting? Nowhere. We're not expanding and growing. So it really does take the leadership in these organizations to be willing to be riskful rather than wishful in their thinking processes. You know, boy, I wish this would happen. I wish we could just figure this out. Well, wishful thinking isn't going to get you anywhere. It's riskful thinking that you have to be willing to step out into.
Yeah.
And that's a little bit scary, but actually to me, that's much less scary than staying stuck where we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And have you had to do that in your own business, I assume?
Oh my goodness. So I am a solopreneur, which means it's just me. There's nobody here. Oh, that's not true. I have two new cats. So now this morning we had a staff meeting with my cats in my office. But I don't have anybody to bounce ideas around if I'm not on purposely looking for that. Purposely looking for that. So I have a mastermind group that has been with me for 10 years. We meet every Saturday morning. And that group sometimes needs to redirect me because I need to be redirected too. And so there were times, I was like, you guys, I think I'm just going to hang it up because this is too hard. I'm pulling the piano through quicksand. What can you do to help me? And then they kind of slap me up metaphorically, not literally. And
that's good.
Remind me why I'm here, you know, remind me what I'm put on the earth to do.
Yeah.
But I don't know how people do that without a coaching group or a coach or a consultant or somebody to help you be more objective than you can be on your own.
Yeah. Yeah. And whether you're a solopreneur or you're the head of a company or part of a company where you do have those team members, it really does take somebody or many of the team members to actually pause and reach for that higher vantage point and ask those powerful questions. And a lot of the businesses, the way that they're structured today, there's just no room for that. Either there's no time to do it, or there's the perception that there's no time. Or like in the case of a solopreneur, you feel like you just have to plug along and do it all yourself. I learned that the hard way. When I first started my coaching career over a decade ago, I thought, well, I'm a coach. I help other people. I can certainly help myself here. And I went quite a few years without a coach myself, which is really kind of dumb in retrospect, but I get where I was coming from. And, you know, fast forward to today, I mean, I hired a business coach and consultant who really illuminates my blind spots. And trust me, I am a personal development, spiritual development junkie. This brain, this vibration is tapped in, tuned in, turned on all day, every day. And I still miss stuff every day. And I need to be redirected and shown different angles and perspectives. And the shifts that occur just through those conversations are unbelievably impactful.
Well, it's so different because the way you're describing that relationship, I'm assuming it's less about you need to do this and the push. And it's more about, so what do you know, it's asking the questions, which illuminates, right? Because to me, the way I've been conditioned, I hear the word should, and I get all defensive. Even if it's, you should see this movie, because I go, don't tell me what I should do. I know what to do. And my jaw gets tight and I get, but that's a signal to me that, oh, there must be something I can learn in this situation because I'm getting defensive. And that's the beauty of awareness. It's not always easy, right? You know this stuff. You're tuned in, tapped in every day, all the time. You should know this stuff, Nova. What? Right. And if we beat ourselves up about our, like my recovering, I'm a recovering perfectionist. So if I beat myself up about not being perfect about something, that can get me stuck, but it also is way easier to get back redirected because I recognize it. It doesn't feel good. So if it doesn't feel good, then I can shift it.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to dive into more of this stuff. And I really love to get into the sort of practical applications of any topic we approach on this show. So when we come back from break in a couple minutes, Jody and I are going to dive into some of the more foundational pieces of conscious leadership and conscious business. And I know you read this wonderful book, which is at the top of my book list. I need to read that book. Jody's going to share with us some of the big ahas that she took away from that. So if you're a business owner, if you're a solopreneur or an entrepreneur on a team, wherever you are at in the grand scheme of things, get out your notebooks and start to take notes. So we're gonna dive into some of the meat here. I also want you to know that if you have some questions that you want to ask Jody or myself on this topic, you can call into the station at 1-800-930-2819. That's 1-800-930-2819. Or if you're on Facebook, you can just type the question in the box and we'll take a peek. And Jody, just before we go to break, where can people find out more information on you?
On me? Probably boxoffice.com, boxoffice.com. That encompasses most everything. And I'm also really active on Facebook, Facebook and Twitter. You can find me just Jody Bock, JodeeBock. And that's the easiest. I would do better in that platform than on phone or text. So I won't give you my phone number.
Yeah, probably not, huh? This is live radio in Seattle. Yeah. And then also Jody's has a gift for everybody who's listening. And tell us what that is.
Yeah, if you go to my website, boxoffice.com, and just put your email address in there, you get a free ebook. My latest book is called Say What? Questions to Inspire Dialogue. And you can get an ebook. Yep, you can get the e-version of that book. That matches your background. So pick that up. I know that will give you some questions to use with whatever teams you have in your life.
Wonderful. So when we come back from break, we will dive into what I think is the number one thing you can do as a conscious business or leader, business person or leader. And I would love to hear from Jody what she thinks as well. So we'll return in just a couple minutes, guys.
Gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher, Sarah Luce, brings her unique style to the hit show, Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit SarahLuce.com. That's SarahLuce.com.
Introducing New Soul Science, an introductory course with Ruby Betty, offering profound wisdom alongside radically simple concepts and techniques that collapse time, allowing instantaneous personal transformation. The foundational techniques of this introductory course reveal the profound inner ability each human has to access and fulfill their individual soul script or soul promise. Awakening this ability leads to the mastery of one's destiny. The concepts are totally original, immensely powerful, and completely revolutionary. They ignite an infinite fire within each listener, fueling one's ability to live out their unique soul promise. Are you ready to become more aware and access amazing personal transformation? This course is available now at rubybetty.co.
Dream on, fly high, and live adventurously on The Laura Meeks Show. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Laura Meeks guides you in finding your unique gifts and bringing them to life. As a certified life coach, speaker, and veteran bomber pilot for the U.S. Air Force, Laura knows how to follow a dream. She is ready to support you so you can dream on, fly high, and live adventurously. For more information on Laura and her work, visit flyhighliving.com.
Are you ready to embrace your essence and the magic of who you are? Let me, Emily Perkins, hold your hand and walk with you as we go treasure hunting for the gold that lies within you. Tune in to Love Living Radio every second and fourth Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit LoveLivingHolistics.com.
Have you been searching for a push to step out and share your gifts with the world? Allow Charlene Hess to empower you to start shedding the layers of your ego that are holding you back and begin feeling connected to your heart so that you can shine your unique divine light and share your gifts with the world. Tune in to The Charlene Hess Show, Living on Your Heart's Edge, every first and third Friday at noon Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit CharleneHess.com.
Welcome back, everybody. If you're just joining in, I am speaking with my special guest, Jody Bach, and we are talking about everything conscious business, conscious leadership, which is a sort of new wave that we're seeing in the world of entrepreneurship-hood, whichever is the right way to say that, as well as businesses in general, anywhere from blue collar businesses to anything, whether you're solo gigging it or you're on a team, the world is waking up and business is no exception. It is part of it. So, before the break, I mentioned that we were going to dive right into some of the more important meaty pieces of what it looks like and what it means to be a conscious leader and and run business consciously. So I have my ideas about this, but I want to start with you, Jody. What do you think is the most important or one of the most important aspects of conscious leadership?
To me, I think it's, I had a coach one time who told me when I was working with her, she said, Jody, I want you to just start noticing what you notice. And I said, what do you mean by that? That didn't make sense to me. And she left that with me. Notice what you notice. And I think if leaders can start noticing what they notice, are you drawn more toward what's wrong with your organization, or are you drawn more toward what's right? Do you find yourself being a problem solver and being really happy about that because you have a job to do and it's to solve problems? Or are you starting to recognize that when you're focused on problems all the time, you'll never be done and you'll always be looking for what's wrong? Mm-hmm. And so just start noticing how it feels. How do you feel when you go to work? I'm going to be honest that one of my last jobs, I knew it was time for me to be gone when I was driving to work one morning and I had a tear going down my eye and I didn't even really know why. And it was because I was done. The energy around me, not the place, me in that place was not right anymore. And so if you as a leader who has a title maybe in an organization can start being really aware of how you feel at your own place of work. One time I had one of my first clients hired me to fix his people. Right? He had 12 people on his team and he had 3 problem children and he wanted me to come in and fix them. And that was when I was brand new as a consultant. And I was, I'll be honest, I was in desperation mode. I needed the client. Mm-hmm. That was the best lesson I could have ever had, because of course the problem wasn't with the people he wanted me to fix. The problem was with him. Because and now, again, you said earlier, looking back, you can connect all the dots. Hindsight is always 20/20. But in the moment, the problem's always with somebody else. Mm-hmm. Until we can recognize that every time I have a problem at my business, I'm the common denominator, mm-hmm. we'll never see a solution. We'll always only see the problem.
Yeah. Oh, I so agree with that. And there is this reluctance, or there tends to be this reluctance to take responsibility mm-hmm. for your role in something, mm-hmm. even if it looks very obvious and blatant, like maybe you do have an employee or you do have some aspect of your business that's not functioning well, and it's blatantly obvious that it's because of that person, mm-hmm. even as the head of the company, or even as a team member, everybody has a responsibility for their energy in the business. I think that's one thing that was super eye-opening for me, is that when you're looking at a business, especially one that you own or that you're running, you have to almost see it as a separate entity. Own entity. It has its own consciousness. Yes. So I know that when I'm coaching somebody in their business, I'm coaching them as two separate entities, the CEO and the business itself. Yeah. And we look at the different energy of both, as well mm-hmm. as all the employees, if there are any. And so that responsibility each has to the energy and the consciousness of that separate entity that mm-hmm. is the business is mm-hmm. something that we need to bring awareness to. That's mm-hmm. one of the first things that we look at. So right. How am I showing up here? Who am I being? What am I contributing?
So true. And you know what's interesting about the book that I'm my current favorite book. If you look at my home office, you can see I have 8,000 books on my shelves. But today, my favorite book, Becoming a Conscious Leader. The people that she studied when she did the research for this book recognized that the person, the leader, and the business are while they're two separate things, they integrate, because the conscious leaders recognize that the money and the profit and the capitalism of their business is good for the good it can do. Mm-hmm. So it's almost not two separate things, because it's the passion and the purpose of the founder that is taking almost, well, its own consciousness in a way, because then people are all drawn to what that company or organization can do to make the world a better place. Mm-hmm. And so business has a huge opportunity in the world to just be a holder of evolving the world. It's almost not as important what your business does as who it's being. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And that to me was huge, because I used to think that what you do has to be the thing to make the difference. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't. I mean, you can be I'm going to judge something if I call out a business. It could be a restaurant. It could be a tire company. It doesn't matter what you do. Mm-hmm. It's how awake and alive your employees and your clients are in that process.
Yes. Yes. Not what you're doing, but who are you being while you're doing what you're doing?
Exactly.
Where are you coming from? Are you coming from a place of alignment, or are you coming from a place of old stories, old reactions, default?
Yes.
Default places. Yes. So important.
The places that feel easier at first. It feels easier to be asleep. Mm-hmm. Because you don't have to think. I got to tell you a story. I went to a business. I had a series of careers, and I went from one to the next one. Mm-hmm. And one company had coworkers, and then I went to the second company, and we had some overlap in some of our vendors, so people knew each other. And I remember one of the vendors at my new company told me that one of my old former coworkers said he was really glad I wasn't at that company anymore, because now they wouldn't have to think so much. And for a minute I went, huh, that's too bad. I mean, I felt bad about that because, oh, sorry, I made you think. And then I went, no, if that's the reason you're glad I'm gone, then I think it's a good thing I'm gone.
Right. Not because a match.
I can't not think. I mean, once in a while people will hire me to do, or they'll want me to come in and speak to their organization. They'll go, but don't be heavy. Just make it light and funny. And I said, well, I'm not that person. Sorry. Cause we're going to think about stuff. And I know thinking is the hardest work people will ever do, which is why so few people do it, according to Henry Ford. Yet that's where it has to go there. We have to start thinking.
Well, yes. And you know, that
think
kind
and
of brings,
feel, think and feel.
Exactly. But that brings me to what I believe is one of the most important aspects of conscious business and conscious leadership is, and it also is a way to not make it so heavy and not make it so hard and uncomfortable for people. Because if the world is waking up and business is waking up as a whole, it doesn't matter if you like to think or don't like to think, want to stay the same, don't want to stay the same. It's going to move forward. Change is something that is inevitable. So one of the things that I think is so important in making this more of a smooth transition is getting. So when I go into a company or I coach somebody who has their own business, primarily I've worked with other heart-centered entrepreneurs, but I've just started working with businesses that have teams as well. Mm-hmm. The very first thing I do is I work with the CEO and I consult that person and I get them into what I call a state of alignment, or I get them to build a really solid foundation for alignment. Because in other words, I teach them to feel good and feel good more often. When we feel good, the thinking part comes more easily. You have that higher access point. You're able to really consider some things and see those blind spots like we mentioned earlier. So to me, this translates over, you know, once you work with the CEO of a company and you get them into that solid foundation place of alignment, then not only will that already begin to spill over to their partners, their employees, their clients. I mean, that's an energetic thing. When one person is in alignment with who they really are and they're vibrating at such a high frequency, it impacts everyone and everything around them within the physical vicinity, as well as, you know, it doesn't even have to be close in proximity. So if you have clients across the globe, it's going to impact them as well. And then it opens the doorway for you to have that conversation and start doing that work with some of the employees as well. The trickle effect is just amazing. But first and foremost, getting people into a rhythm, into a habit of showing up and getting into that state of awareness and thinking more consciously, which we're going to talk about more in depth after we come back from the break. But again, guys, if you want to snag yourself a copy of the e-version of Jody's book, Say What, and I'm not going to hold up the book because it blurs in the background of my green screen, apparently. But you can visit, say the website again, Jody.
Yep. Boxoffice.com, B-O-C-K-S office.com.
Yeah. And while you're on the internet, why don't you head over to my website at www.novawhiteman.com and get your access to a free 3-day mini e-course called 3 Days to Raising Your Vibration, which is where alignment all starts. That's www.novawhiteman.com. www.conscioussoul.com. And when we come back, we're going to dive into more conscious business, conscious leadership, and waking up the world. We'll be right back, guys.
Hi, I'm Steve Kramer of Spirit Fire Radio, and I believe that meditation changes everything. It leads us in the direction of greater well-being, and that's a fact. I struggled with meditation for years. I understood the principles, but I found it hard to incorporate them into my everyday life. Spirit Fire's meditation practice changed that. It's called the Practice of Living Awareness, and it's taught in 14 steps. These are 14 tools that I can use in any moment, on and off the cushion. Steps like smile, flow, and ground of being support my clarity of mind while I'm navigating the ups and downs of modern life. That's why it's called the Practice of Living Awareness. If you'd like to add meditation to your daily experience, the Practice of Living Awareness is free, online, and it's suited for any level of practitioner. Visit spiritfire.com for more information. And be sure to check out Spirit Fire's meditation retreats in Western Massachusetts. It's all there at spiritfire.com.
Ignite your inner magic on Grow Your Soul Radio with Jane Machanga. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Jane Machanga explores how to overcome your fears to help you gain the inspiration you need to awaken your path to joy. Learn the way to life mastery and the enlightened path with Grow Your Soul Radio. For more information on Jane Machanga and her work, visit enlightened-path.com.
Are you tired of being tired? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know the adrenal glands, the workhorse of the body? They are the means by which you position yourself in life for whatever comes your way. Tiny but mighty, producing hormones the body uses to promote energy and vitality. These adrenals determine how you respond to stress, and when depleted, the body loses its ability to function powerfully when we need it most. The much-needed adrenaline or epinephrine is not available for emergency situations. Cortisone and cortisol, the longer-acting anti-stress adrenal hormones, can also become depleted due to the pace of our everyday lives. We overwork and undernutrition our most powerful ally that helps us to live the lives we desire. We are able to determine the optimum function of the adrenals and put your system back in balance. Contact us today to feel powerfully energized at 888-777-4232 or visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Have you ever wondered if there's a way to heal the deep, hidden inner issues, wounds, beliefs, and traumas? The Journey into Spiritual Healing engages people in all areas of their lives to heal themselves and others. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Dr. Jaffe brings conversations of healing of body, mind, and spirit as he merges the excellence of traditional medicine with the beauty of spiritual healing. For more information about Dr. Jaffe, this show, and his work, visit drjaffemd.com.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I am your host, Nova Whiteman, and I've got my special guest, Jody Bach, here today. And we are just continuing the dialogue about conscious leadership and conscious business, which is an important turning point in our cultural landscape these days. So before the break, Jody and I were discussing some of the more important elements of conscious business and conscious leadership. And what I want to make sure that we have the time to do is Jody was going to take us through the four, what is it called, Jody?
They are the four zones of conscious leadership, according to Gina Hayden's book.
Yes, I would love to hear about these. Can you tell us what they are?
For sure. She says within any conscious organization, she defines four zones, and they are self-mastery, conscious relating, systems insight, and collective responsibility. Mm-hmm. So it starts with the self, you know, whoever you are in this. I would guess you could be at the bottom of a totem pole, you know, the bottom of the hierarchy, and you could still start waking up. You don't have to have a title. You don't have to have any kind of, you know, tenure at an organization to start waking up. So it starts with self-mastery. And I have some questions. Do you want to go into that yet, Nova, from these areas? Or
yeah, before you dive into the questions, explain what each of those four zones are.
So self-mastery, according to her, is I think it would be when I start noticing my ego, because she talks about mastering your ego in this. And I'll throw in my own version of that. If the only two ways of looking at the world are through the eyes of love or through the eyes of fear, then fear would be ego. And when we can start mastering ourselves and start noticing, again, just noticing things that we're present for, that's mastering ourself. So, you know, waking up, she says in the book, has to do with shedding our old skin and becoming a new version of ourselves. So self-mastery isn't always easy. Just like waking up isn't always easy. I mean, sometimes you get the clanging alarm that wakes you up and you wake up mad and you get mad at whoever yelled at you to wake you up. Yet that's what you need sometimes when you're in a deep sleep. And so self-mastery is a really important part of this whole process of waking up. And go ahead.
Yeah. And actually, I want to stop you right there, because I think that this kind of tied in with what I was saying before the break, that, you know, if you get the leaders in alignment first, what that actually means is they are working on self-mastery. And some elements of that are the mastery of your thoughts and your emotions, not bringing your wounds into the boardroom, so to speak, or not bringing what happened that morning if you fought with your spouse or you spilled coffee all over your pants. And leaders don't get to come in a bad mood. Now, it doesn't mean, but see, I also want to point out that doesn't mean that it doesn't leave room to be human.
Right.
It just means, again, that consciousness and awareness, notice what state of being you're in. Maybe ask yourself, okay, what caused this? Where did it come from? Okay, great. And who do I want to be now? How do I want to handle this? What's important here?
Well, and the funny thing about that she even says exactly what you're saying, it's what's called the observer effect. You see how you are seeing, or you see how you are being.
Yeah.
So you, as a person who's practicing self-mastery, you start noticing your effect on people.
Yes.
And so while you said it's not about faking who you are, it's about leaving some room for authenticity. But when I see how my anger or my frustration impacts people, then I have to go back to me and say, okay, what can I do differently with this? And that's, she says, I would say it's a response over a reaction. A response means I'm actually responding to this and not just reacting out of my knee-jerk reactions.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Emotions. And response indicates conscious awareness.
Right.
Reaction is an unconscious occurrence. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's self-mastery, the observer effect, and how we can be aware of our own purpose and how it intersects with our organizational purpose.
Yeah.
Because if they're not in alignment, like you said earlier, you'd be out. That would be hard to show up every day at an organization that doesn't align with your own values and your own purpose.
Right. Yes. And if you're already feeling the heavy responsibility of being the leader and you're showing up in a place of misalignment and disconnect, then you're going to feel that weight even more.
Right.
But if you actually pause and take the time, okay, I got to line up my energy. I got to deal with my emotions, my thoughts, the things that are going on right here, right now, so that A, I can feel better. And then B, I can contribute to the space of the business and everybody else that it's impacting.
And almost hold the space for something even greater to emerge.
Yes.
And that whole concept, she doesn't talk about it in the book, but I'm learning about this thing called Isumatak. Have I told you about that, Nova?
Yes, you have.
Isumatak is the person who holds the space for wisdom to emerge. It's an Inuit term. And I had it tattooed on my arm because it's so important to me. You can't probably see it in the video. It'll show up there.
There we go.
There it is.
Yeah.
So it's my reminder to not always put stuff in, but to allow the space for things to come out.
Yeah.
And if leaders can really be in that space, again, it's what we said earlier about faith. I mean, you have to have some faith that something good's going to happen, even if you don't know the outcome in that moment.
And that's self-mastery. part of that is allowing, you know, yes, you're the leader of the company, but then when you're allowing something else to emerge, something greater to emerge, you're actually placing the power in your team members and your employees.
It's pretty hard to be upset about an idea you helped create, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And when your employees feel empowered, then, I mean, that's just raising the whole vibration of the entire business, which allows all good things to come and flow through there. So real quick, I can't believe we're already almost out of time here. There's so much to cover. This is probably more of a 4-part or 5-part show. But what were the last three zones there?
So the second one is conscious relating. Mm-hmm. So you said it earlier, where self-mastery is about me, conscious relating is about we.
Yes, yes.
So that's the second one. Mm-hmm. And then zone three is systems insight. Conscious leaders are focused inwardly and outwardly, right? So they're always looking for the future, thinking in the future vision. So they're looking for systems that will allow their organization to support that vision.
Yes.
So that's systems insight. And then the fourth one is collective responsibility. What do we do together now? Conscious leaders see life as one continuous interconnected whole. They see business, life, and nature as one connected entity. And so then we're always looking now, how can we contribute to the benefit of, sure, our organization, but at some level, the world, the universe, you know, all of humankind. Mm-hmm. It might sound a little lofty, but we're all dynamic beings on an evolutionary journey.
Oh, absolutely. And if you're running a conscious business from a place of alignment and high vibrations, and you reach those levels of success that you've defined and you hit your why, what do you think that's going to do to the rest of the planet, the rest of the globe?
And it's when people
only
go home,
create good.
They go home from work, from that work environment. How are they as parents and how are they as community members? They're not going home and kicking the dog because they're so tired and they hate their job so much, right? They're now bringing that new awareness to their outside of work lives
exactly.
too. And at some point, you don't have to take off one hat and put on another one. You can be yourself everywhere.
Yes, exactly. Well, we're just about to wrap up here. And Jody, I want to thank you for engaging in this discussion with me. And there needs to be more and more talk like this. The question that I want to pose to our listeners, especially if you're in a position of leadership, ask yourself, what do I need to raise the consciousness of my business, to raise the consciousness of my role as leader, and explore some of these aspects we've talked about. If you are interested in acquiring the services of Ms. Jody Bock, please visit
boxoffice.com, B-O-C-K-S office.com. You'll find everything you need there, I'm confident.
Yes, and you'll get your copy of the ebook, Say What. 100 plus questions to ignite conversation and spark dialogue. And remember, those questions are oh so important. So thank you guys for listening. We're out of time and we'll see you next time. Thanks, Jody.
Thanks, Nova.
Thank you for listening to Spiritual Alignment Radio, vibrational living in a physical world with me, Nova Whiteman. Tune in every second Tuesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on transformationtalkradio.com as I give you practical, straightforward guidance and vibrational tools to align your energy so you can begin living the spiritual rockstar life you deserve. For more information or to listen to past shows, visit novawhiteman.com. That's NovaWhitman.com. See you next time.